Welcome, children of all ages, Shotgun Saturday Nights.
God. It's going to be one of those recordings, is it?
Yep.
Oh, goody. Welcome to Shotgun Saturday Nights, the unofficial fan cast where we hang out and discuss everything King Falls and improv on tape related. Warning, this podcast does contain spoilers, specifically for King Falls episode 16, Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town. Why? Because y'all was dumb. That's why. And improv on tape, episode 201. Hey, it's me, your Grandpa Joe. Yeah, laugh at me. Go ahead. I don't care. As you know.
I'm laughing at that.
Oh, you're laughing at me. It's okay.
No, I'm laughing at the fucking title.
Oh, the title? Yeah, it's me, your Grandpa Joe. But no promises about the spoilers. So if you haven't caught up, go listen to the shows. We'll still be here. It's going on the internet. This is never going away, ever. Never, ever going away. It will be here forever. Okay, bye. Anyway, I'm Dina.
And I'm Grandpa Joe. Okay, I'm not fucking Grandpa Joe. I'm done.
What her cue is.
I'm done. How are ya?
Okay.
So, I have news.
Oh, newsy God, news, news. News.
Yes. So, in absolutely positively non-podcast related news, baseball opening day, baby. That's right. Boston Red Sox going all the way, even though we fucking got swept by the motherfucking Baltimore Orioles today. 3-0. I don't care. It was a practice round. That's it. It's still early in the season. I'm not worried. Okay? I'm not worried about my boys. Okay, that's the only piece of non-podcast related newsy news. So, for the podcast related news, the KFAM Discord server is going into hiatus on Monday at midnight Pacific Standard Time. Okay, so that's 3 a.m. Eastern Time. Basically, they're doing this because of the unknown length of the KFAM hiatus. And Debbie Downer's out there, and I know you're out there. The show is not ending until two people fucking say it is. And those two people are motherfucking Kyle and Eric, because they're fucking amazing. So don't be spreading rumors or just saying, oh, it's good, it's fucking over, because it's not over until they fucking say it's over. And that is last I have to say on that. Okay.
This episode.
Well, yeah, for this episode. So, and so if you want, if you were on the Discord server, the official Discord server for KFAM, and you want to get some contact info from people that are on there, hop on there before fucking Monday night at midnight PST. Okay? Okay.
And start putting your stuff on Twitter. The only reason I go on the Discord is to look at fan art. So if you got fan art, or if you got stuff, you're posting your links to AO3, put it on Twitter.
Yes.
Because
put that shit on the tweet feed.
Yes. Put it on the tweets.
We got some big motherfucking news. The Audioverse 2020 Awards were released. Finally.
Finally.
And of course, the biggest winner. The biggest fucking winner was goddamn Cameron motherfucking epic as fuck Chambers for Jack's Return, obviously. Winner of the night, We also, though, this isn't the full list of podcasts because there was a fucking lot of podcasts that won.
There are a lot.
So I just got a short list. I got a short list of podcasts that people might have heard of, or podcasts that I think that we've mentioned. Dark Dice, One Some, White Vault, One Some, Skyjacks Courier's Call, and Campaign Skyjacks. I think one each. Old Gods of Appalachia, they were big winners. Magnus Archives, big winners. Like, fucking, they like swept everything. Lighthouse,
Jeff Heim,
an award. Yep.
Awesome. Podcast, guys, go listen to it. It's a limited podcast. There's only one season. Go listen.
But it's a damn good season, and it's fucked up. But it's good.
It is fucked up.
Vega won an award, and this is notable because the writer for Vega, the main character, she also plays the main character. She is a woman of color. So, and it's a fucking epic podcast. It's fucking epic as hell. Also, a winner is The Broadswords. So, that's all I got for news, but I wanted to fucking name drop those podcasts because they're fucking amazing, and that's how I roll.
The end. And there's a couple more. Unwell won like 4 or 5. They are also epic. They won a couple. Less is More, which is one of my favorite podcasts, won new audio play production. Now, there is a category that I think perhaps some of our listeners may want to pay attention to for the 2021 nominations, which would be improvised productions.
Improvised productions.
And then also, you know, Cameron Chambers again for music, because, you know, the Cameron Chambers Philharmonic.
Fucking Cameron Chambers. Like, who else are you going to nominate? There's Cameron Chambers, and then there's...
the Cameron Chambers Philharmonic.
Yeah, I mean, there's you're either nominating one person or you're nominating the whole fucking group. So, so, Cameron Chambers, a toast to you, my good sir.
Wait, I can do that.
Oh, toast. Yep. Hold on. We are toasting. Hold on. Toasting. Yes, we're toasting. Toast. Clink.
Clink.
And yes, I may burp in a couple of minutes, and I'm going to keep that in too. So I'm just letting y'all know that if a burp's coming.
I swear to God, if you cut that.
If a burp's coming, it's coming. And y'all are going to have to fucking deal with that shit. But no.
I deal with it all the time.
An improvised production.
I wonder who we could nominate for that.
Excuse me.
Will not be who I nominate for that. At least she warned us, guys. I don't usually get a warning. We usually have to do like take two.
Improvised production. Huh. Gee, I think we're gonna have to think fucking long and hard about that, Dana.
I'm sure there's somebody we know who does an improvised production.
I'm sure there are some people that we may be fans of, or maybe not, I don't know. That may indeed have an improvised production.
I can neither confirm nor deny. We review a show that is all about improvised production.
Samesies. Total samesies.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never fucking know.
I guess not. Because, you know.
Until like October when people can fucking nominate.
That's right.
Excuse me. God. I told you guys I was going to burp. I'm sorry.
Apologize in advance for the entire show this evening, kids.
I'm sorry, but that shit is going to come out when it comes out, and I can't control it. You know, as a god.
You know, Dawn, honey, if the shit's going to come out, please hit pause and go. You can come back; it'll be fine.
You know, that's not the type of shit I'm talking about.
I refill my drink.
Dear listeners, I do have control over my goddamn bowels. Thank you very much. Dana, are we gonna fucking is this gonna be fucking 5 hours later and then we start talking about King Falls AM? Is this gonna be one of those things where it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and we're like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, now we're gonna start talking about the fucking podcast? Yep, clearly. Dana looks like she's about ready to piss her pants over. I'm just gonna fucking leave this shit in. I don't give a fuck. I think we both fucking needed that though. Fucking Christ.
You know? Oh, sorry, fucking you too. After the week I've had.
Oh, hey, oh, girl. I know. All right. I know.
I swear it was a week of Mondays, man.
For sure.
I asked my coworker, I'm like, dude, is today Friday? She goes, well, yeah, it's Friday. Why are you asking? Because I fucking think it's still Monday.
You know, that's it's just really- one of them. It's one of them motherfucking weeks.
It is. The upside of my week, I got my first COVID shot on Tuesday. Nice.
Go Tito. I have finally been able to schedule my first fucking COVID shot.
Yay.
For a couple of weeks from now. So, you know.
Everybody, if you are eligible, go get your COVID shots.
Yes.
We want to go out and play in public and do things.
Ooh. And the motherfucking CDC stated today that if you have gotten both COVID shots, you can travel. You're free to travel anywhere within the United States. So you're good. You're fucking good if you've gotten both shots.
Yes,
so congrats to those who've gotten both shots.
Not that I have anywhere to go. But, you know, I can travel at the end of April. Yay. I just want to hang out with like people again. Of course, you know, like that's going to last like about a week. And then I'm going to come back inside and shut my door and be like, nope, the world can stay out there. Dawn's playing with lights. Dawn's living in the red light district. Ooh.
Ooh, my light changes colors.
Ooh, yeah, that's not going to be disturbing at all.
You know what?
All right.
You know what? I just thought of it.
What?
Hold on. Dude.
What?
The rainbow lights. Dude. Oh my God. Dude.
The rainbow lights are coming to dawn.
If I suddenly disappear,
hanging out in a room with an apple store.
If I suddenly disappear and my hat just like falls, get Kyle and Eric and have them like get help or something.
Yeah, because a year later we're going to be hearing about how she woke up in a white room that looked like an apple store.
Probably.
Probably. Anyway, on with the episode. King Falls, episode 16, Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town. This episode originally aired on December 15th, 2015. It opens with Ben remarking about how giddy and excited Sammy is. And Sammy is very excited this episode.
He is wicked excited.
This is a Sammy that I like to see. This is a happy-go-lucky, I am down for it, Sammy. He's excited. He's got news. He can't wait to share it with everybody before the holiday break. Ben reminds all the listeners that they're going on a two-week break. They will literally be back on New Year's Day. Thanks, Merv. Ben, shut the fuck up. You got Christmas off. You can work fucking New Year's. I'm just saying. Don't be greedy.
Lucky bastards. I knew I should have gotten into fucking radio.
Right? I've got the face for it. Oh, and I apologize now for all my giggling through this entire episode. Anyway, Ben hands the show over to Sammy. Sammy admits that he is normally skeptical about everything that comes on the show. Sammy? Skeptical?
Him?
I'm such a believer. I'm such a true believer. I don't get that line.
It's not that he could also be called Agent Scully.
No, not at all.
No.
Sammy. But he does, you know, believe some of the King Fall lore. I mean, he's been there for a couple of months now. He's getting used to it. He may not necessarily believe everything, but he's starting to accept things. Ben's kind of cautious because of the whole HFP3 incident. And, well, come on, let's face it. Rightfully so. But they talked about this, damn it.
They did.
Sammy assured him that it's nothing like this. He was out doing some Christmas shopping at the King Falls Mall. Surprisingly, not very crowded. Ben interrupts wanting to know if it's crowded because he has to buy a gift for his mom. Sure, Benny. Sure, Benny. There's air quotes going on there, by the way. In case you couldn't tell by the tone of my voice that there was air quotes. Sammy confirms it's not very crowded, you know. He calls Ben out about, yeah, we know it's not your mom buying presents for. Sammy gets hungry. He doesn't want to go to the food court. So he drives the 3 minutes away to Frickard's. Traitor. Which is what Ben calls him, traitor. He's disgusted because Sammy would eat there. One, because of how he feels about Greg. How we all feel about Greg. But we didn't feel that way about Greg at the time yet.
That's true. And we didn't know he was a fucking creep until later.
Yeah, well... Yeah, we kind of knew he was a little bit creepy when he called the library to talk to Emily, but we didn't know he was, you know.
But it didn't like go like psycho creepy until later.
Yeah, he wasn't psycho. He was just kind of creepy.
Yeah,
maybe potential stalkery.
A little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit stalkery. And Ben also accuses them of poaching the frogs directly from Lake Hatchinhaw. Sammy orders his usual, which includes an order of frog puppies. We know what pancake puppies are. We know what hush puppies are. I'm not sure about the frog puppies. Actually, I'm not sure about eating frogs at all. I mean, there are people out there who like it. Go for it. Have fun. More for you, because I'm not going to eat it. I'm just saying. I'll eat alligator. I'm not eating frogs. Just an FYI. Anyway, Sammy's there. He sees this beautiful 1960s Corvette pull up with bells on it. It's kind of weird, but, and Sammy's like, oh, changing the subject. You can just kind of see Ben sitting there doing the whole, you know, neck slashing thing. Like, no, don't talk about
King it. King Falls Kringle.
bigger, older gentleman gets out of the car, red suit, red tie, massive white beard. Ben tries to interrupt again. Tiny little glasses, rosy red cheeks, very friendly. His name is Chris. Ben is like, Sammy, you ran into a mall Santa. Come on, dude. Sammy's like, nope. The
Santa. This is the real deal.
The real McCoy. The real, yes. Father Christmas himself. And since there's no seats available, or only one table, they sit together. Ben's still like, yeah, dude, mall Santa stalker. Because Sammy's like, no, dude, he knew my name. Ben, for once in his life, tries to logic his way out of something.
You know what?
Ben never tries to logic his way out of things. What?
I think it was a mall Santa. I think his name was
Grandma. You know what? You know what? I think Cecil's okay, and it was Cecil in disguise.
Oh no, you didn't.
No, you yes, didn't. I did.
Did you just fucking take my line?
I just preempted you for interrupting me in the middle of improv on tape to tell
me. Oh my fucking God. You just fucking did that. Dana! Dude,
I've been planning this for multiple
episodes. I am fucking
one of these days I'm gonna jump in and beat her on this.
I am fucking Grandpa Joe, and I can't believe you did that.
I've been plotting this for a couple episodes now, kids.
You know what? I'm just gonna
fucking randomly. That is my big theme.
I'm just gonna randomly say I'm Grandpa Joe.
Okay. Yeah, Grandpa Joe, I know who you are. I don't have Alzheimer's. Oh my God, we're going back on a giggle fest. Okay. I'm trying to stop the giggle fest.
Oh, Christ.
Oh my God.
You fucking Grandpa Joe.
The giggle fest. Okay. No giggle fest allowed. Where were we? He was talking to Cecil in disguise.
Because Cecil's yes, okay.
Yes, Santa knew his name. Ben tries, yeah, exactly, because Cecil's okay. Sammy says, see, I lost my place because we went off on a Cecil. Cecil. Sammy said, no, it's the Santa. Oh, oh, here we go. Ben tries to logic his way out of it for the first time in his life. Ben uses logic on anything. Out of the discussion saying that they, you know, must have recognized Sammy's voice because, you know, he's a radio personality. But Santa knew about Sammy's childhood address. Santa's a fucking stalker, dude. He knows what Sammy got for Christmas when he was six. Ben accuses him of being a stalker. Sammy is insistent that Santa knew all kinds of stuff, good and bad, that Sammy did. I want to know some of the bad things Sammy did. I don't imagine Sammy having been a bad kid. I mean, you know, your typical boy child.
I think Sammy, if we were to, if we were to look at what characters were on like the personality sheet that Dungeons and Dragons use, I see Sammy as being like a chaotic good.
Yeah,
I don't see him as being a bad kid either.
He's done some bad things. I mean, he was a little boy. Of course he.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he fucked up once or twice, but oh, yeah. I think he fucked up for the right reasons, you know.
But you know, I mean, he was a little kid. Of course he fucked up. He was a boy. All little boys fuck shit up. That's just their job. And that is pretty much the only time I will let anybody get away with saying boys will be boys, because girls do that too. But yeah, I don't think Sammy was a bad kid. He may have done the occasional bad thing, but not a bad kid. He wasn't like stealing somebody's car and going out and driving over pedestrians with it. Yeah, so anyway, Ben, Sammy's like, well, because, you know, I don't know how you could have found this out because, you know, I'm, you know, keeping it low key with my personal life. Ben's like, yeah, shotgun, we know. Gee, Ben's not like jealous that Santa knows more about shotgun than he does. Sammy insists that it is the real Santa who is in King Falls, and because he admits he even vacations there a couple of weeks a year. And Sammy's thrilled by this. He's like, woohoo, Santa Claus. Ben insists that it is not the real Santa, so this is, you know, a little bit of a snip going on between the two of them. It's just someone who plays Santa during the year. Sammy's frustrated because Ben, he's like, if a caller was to call in and say this, you'd be all over it. But Ben insists he's not hell-bent on destroying Sammy. He's just looking for other explanations. Sammy accuses Ben of saying that King Falls isn't good enough for a Santa vacation home. I beg to differ. If it's good enough for Sammy, it's good enough for Santa.
Yep.
Ben's like, I didn't say that. Did he tell you I said that? I knew you said something. So yeah, he knows Ben. He knows Ben knows. Ben knows Sammy knows. Ben knows that. We all know. But he's still gonna deny it. Ben's still gonna deny it. Deny it. Because the real Santa wouldn't go to Frickard's. That is the one point I will give to Ben in this discussion. The real Santa would not go to Frickard's unless he's scoping it out and, you know, checking off certain rioters on the naughty list.
Yep.
Who will be getting coal rather than stuffed frog in their stocking.
He probably visited the King Falls Sheriff's Department too.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Because he had to check off what's his face's name.
A certain bespectacled sheriff?
A certain sheriff, yes. Certain Sheriff Gunderson. Evil, slimy bastard.
Evil son of a bitch. Yep. I mean, so come on, Santa even knew about Wolfington. Come on. But they're like, nope, let's put it to the callers. And Ben acts all cagey. Where's your Kingle? Sam's like, what? What did you do? But he doesn't get a chance to explain. Because Ben cuts to commercial, and it is Randy McMullet of McMullet's International Palace of Snakeskin Boots.
Snakeskin Boots.
Where the Secret Santa Albino Snakeskin Special is going on this week. So, yeah, apparently the prices are different for black snakeskins versus white snakeskins. Oh, no, he didn't say black snakeskins. He said dark snakeskins versus white snakeskins. Although I suppose a white snake would be an albino snake and it would be more rare, so you would want to charge more. So, okay. Sorry. I was dealing with some other stuff today and it's dripping into my conversations now. They come back. Sammy tries to tell Ben, tries to call Ben out. And I'm like, you know, what'd you say before commercials? I just sneezed. I didn't say anything. Pick a line, answer it up. They're lit up like Christmas trees. So Sammy picks line one. It is our favorite Stepford mother, Cynthia. Cynthia is a Stepford mom if ever there was one.
True.
She tells Sammy that he's off his rocker because Santa lives in the North Pole. She also calls Sammy out for having a death wish for going to the mall where there's a gang of vampires.
At Hot Topic.
Yeah. No, they're just the goth kids. And I'm sorry, y'all are going to hate me for my Cynthia voice. I apologize. I can't do it. She's like, I hate to say I told you so, but I will tell your asses I told you so, so fast. Merry Christmas.
See, you know what? You know what interests me about this episode?
What's that?
That Cynthia actually, like people were hearing what Ben was saying, and they were like, oh, Ben's sounding the alarm. And so they were like, they were basically telling Sammy, no, you're totally wrong. Like, yeah. Cynthia basically backed up Ben, and I was like, whoa.
Yes, this is, I'm thinking in retrospect, hindsight, if you would. This may be the first inkling of a Cynthia switch that we're seeing flip.
Maybe.
Towards a certain average height, medium range radio personality?
Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. It's just my imagination. She's living in denial. Next caller, line five. It is our favorite truck driver, Finn. Yay, Finn. I love Finn. And guys, for phase three, we need more Finn. I'm just saying.
There should be a Finn episode.
There should be a Finn episode. He may not be driving the big rigs anymore, but we need more Finn.
True.
It's been a while since he called. He's doing well. He's not calling about Santa. He doesn't give a shit. He just called to wish the boys Merry Christmas. They're glad he's calling because they were kind of worried about him. But, you know, it's not like he's waking up naked in a field somewhere covered in chicken feathers, you know, yeah. On the regular.
He's never done that.
No, not on a regular basis anyway. Just every now and then. And really, who among us hasn't woken up naked in a field somewhere covered in chicken feathers and God knows what? I mean,
I haven't. Yeah. Are you admitting something, Dana?
You're a little straight-laced for a
50-some-odd person audience.
I can neither confirm nor deny what may or may not happen on an all-night bender when I was in college.
Really? I
never woke up in a field covered in chicken feathers, okay?
Good really? Is that what the interweb has to say? Will the interwebs back you up?
The interwebs were not really around when I was in college. See,
fair point.
The advantage of being almost 50 is that none of the stupid shit I did as a kid is on the interwebs.
That is true. Damn it.
You only have my word for the stupid shit that I did, and I may be telling the truth, I may not be telling the truth. You'll never know.
Dear listeners, is she telling the truth or is she lying to us all?
And then line three is our favorite foul mouth Papa Herschel. He's mad because the boys hung up on him a couple weeks ago.
Busted.
And as soon as he gets his dick beaters on them, all hell's gonna break loose.
True.
He's going to be okay.
Yep.
Ben tries to pretend like, you know, he doesn't know what Herschel's talking about. Sammy's like, you know, dude, sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. Yeah, no, Ben hung up on his ass 2 weeks ago. And quite frankly, Ben deserves to have his ass kicked for it. It was not an emergency situation. Or was it? No, it wasn't an emergency situation. He could have talked to Herschel for a minute. He is, though, however, calling to chime in on the Santa situation. He's not calling to chime in on the Santa situation. He is calling to say to talk about something, but then Sammy interrupts him, and he gets pissed off. And
surprise, surprise.
He's like, yeah, and you know what my generation call breaks? Being fucking dead. Because that's the only break you got in life. And then he hangs up, and the guys are like, okay, Merry Christmas. I didn't kill fucking Hitler. So we're having a fucking holiday. Mm-hmm. So we have confirmation. Herschel killed Hitler.
It's true.
Yep, he admits it.
He was like a ninja in that bunker.
Yep, he was. He let Ava Braun go, though, so what the hell was that all about? Sammy reminds the listeners that they are talking about Santa and how he likes to vacay in Kim Falls. Where are we? King Falls. I can neither confirm nor deny what is in my big tumbler that may or may not be causing me to be tongue-tied right now. Ben, she's just shaking her head at me. Yep. Ben asks if anyone who knows about Santa to call in, and once again, coughs, Operation King Falls Twinkle, which Sammy calls him out on again. Line two is Troy, Deputy Troy. I miss some Deputy Troy. Yep. He calls to wish the boys happy various holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever holiday you happen to celebrate. Ben asks if it's okay for Troy to call, be calling. He's like, I'm on a damn break, Ben. Shut up. And tells Ben not to start with him. Ben tries to hang up on him, but Sammy won't let him because Sammy's an upstanding guy. Ben, at this point in the game, is still kind of petty. Thankfully, he eventually grows out of that.
True.
Troy tells Sammy that he believes that Sammy believes what he says he saw. To which Ben chimes in, dude, you know the drill. Once again, confirming to Sammy that Ben believes him. Troy isn't saying that it is or isn't the real Santa. He just believes that Sammy believes it's the real Santa. And quite frankly, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
You know?
Now, I believe the next caller is a certain
thing
of rock and roll, correct?
First, Troy has to tell Ben that he got him a Christmas present.
Oh, yes.
So he can't come and give it to him just yet because it's going to be late.
Yeah.
But he knows that one day they're going to be best buds again. And then Troy, and I crack up every time I hear this, he makes like a shepherd and gets the flock out of there. Because
Troy.
Eric was a bad all day, but he's a comedic genius. I know. Eric is a comedic genius. He just doesn't believe it. Line one is unknown Kamala. Woo, okay.
Okay, whatever's in that goddamn unknown
caller. Yeah. Maybe I should stop partaking of my beverage at the moment.
Adult beverage.
I can neither confirm nor deny that you must be 21 to partake of what I have in my cup. Unknown caller with a familiar voice. He wants to talk about the Kris Kringle situation. He thinks that a man wants to lay low where he won't be bothered because life got stressful and he didn't want to buy a Cadillac for everyone he met and follow the love of his life there. Stopping at this moment.
I'm just saying that it may or may not be the King of Rock.
No, well, not even that point yet.
What?
He followed the love of his life to King Falls.
Yeah, but okay, but the love of his life, though.
But is this just an offhanded remark? Is this tying into something we'll hear about later? About why some people come to King Falls and gather and create their own little family love groups.
I don't.
And get involved in the thruple with Ben and Emily.
I don't think that, I mean, I don't think it's going to be mentioned later. And I think what's going to end up happening, like people are like, oh, Elvis is still alive. But like, you don't hear anybody from King Falls, like giving away that secret. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no, so, we do hear Big E later. We do hear from Big E later. We hear from him later.
In a few episodes. Like, we're not hearing from anybody else other than him.
No, right.
I'm saying about him.
But no, I'm just talking about the whole following the love of his life to the small podunk town.
Oh, about that.
Guys, it went over her head.
Sorry. Well, I mean, it's not like he fucking, like, I mean, people do that all the time. I don't think it's anything special with him.
Well, specifically to King Falls, though. But yeah, I don't think it's anything special to him. Also, apparently Rose makes the best peanut butter banana sandwiches. Sammy thinks that the caller may be talking about himself, not about Santa.
Might be.
Because it's Elvis. Although the caller does periodically kind of break into song.
Yeah.
Or quote songs. Talk about cool Ben. Ben does say he sounds an awful lot like the King of Rock.
Yeah.
Ben's not wrong.
Nope.
I'm just saying.
Fucking Trent Shumway bringing the voices again. Like a Mav. Like a motherfucking Mav.
Gotta love Trent. Sammy wants to know why Ben is fighting him so hard on this. Ben explains that he's not saying that it is or isn't Santa Claus, but if, and this is a big if, it is Santa, maybe they're just trying to get away from everything that stresses him out, like, you know, TMZ and full emails and all that kind of stuff. Sammy considers it, concedes that maybe he might have possibly been mistaken, although we all know he wasn't. And they're all good, and they go to break, and that's where the show ends.
So
this is the end of the King Falls episode.
So honestly, like, I got a little respect back for Ben at the end of that. Because Ben was like actively trying to protect Santa.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, no, I mean, I'm all for Ben on this one.
And I was like, wow, Ben, protecting the big man. All right.
Yeah. Ben did not lose any points on this one with me.
Didn't lose any points.
Being kind of snippy, but, you know, Ben is always snippy at this point in the game. He has,
and I'm glad he didn't like totally say no, you were totally wrong. I'm glad he didn't like gaslight Sammy into like totally thinking that he was wrong.
Right.
So
I mean, and I like the way Troy did it. Well, like, you know, maybe it's him, maybe it's not. But if you think it's him and you believe it's him, then you go right on believing. If you are a grown-ass man in your 30s and you want to believe in Santa Claus, that he is real, far be it from any of us to tell you he's not. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's how it works. But anyway, that's all we had on that episode. We're moving on to Improv on Tape. Now for this one, I do have to say, full disclosure, by the time I got around to making my notes on this one, I may or may not have been on my second tumbler full of vodka and cranberry juice.
I was going to say, you were probably drinking.
It's been a rough week. Don't judge me. I can neither confirm nor deny that any of the typos that Dawn has seen on my list are legitimate.
You know what? I haven't even seen the fucking list.
I know. She doesn't. I don't know why I email her my notes, because she never looked at them.
I looked at them on occasion. I was way too busy today with work. So,
also, I have never actually read this book. I planned on buying it to read, but I just never got around to it. I have seen both the Gene Wilder and the Johnny Depp movie. Johnny Depp is creepy as fuck.
He is creepy as a motherfucker. He looks like a goddamn pedophile. Yeah.
I mean,
in that movie,
Gene Wilder was kind of creepy ass pedophile-ish too, but not as bad as Johnny Depp.
True.
And when I was in second or third grade, we had a teacher who read this to us to the class. But honestly, that's like the extent of my experience with this particular story. So I have no real concept of what goes on. So basically anything that they say could possibly potentially be true. and legit to the story.
Yeah, I mean, if Grandpa Joe says, I'm just saying, if Grandpa Joe says that a dollar will pay for hookers and blow, then it probably will pay for hookers and blow. You know?
Yes. I also need to...
Fucking Grandpa Joe.
That's right. It's goddamn Grandpa Joe. I also need to make a correction from last season. And I actually kind of had a little Twitter conversation with Mason on this one. The three-headed dog in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Philosopher's Stone, if you're educated, is indeed named Fluffy.
Yeah.
Because we kind of laughed about, and it wasn't that they called him Fluffy, it was that they couldn't pick a name. Like,
so they just automatically
pick a name and commit to it. It was Cerberus and it was Fluffy. Pick a name and commit. Kind of like they did with Harry's mom being Emily or Lily.
Well, I mean,
commit.
The thing is that Cerberus, like, he was Cerberus. He was Cerberus, but his name was Fluffy.
So, but it's, well, but then is Cerberus all three-headed dogs? Or a specific three-headed dog?
No, it's all three-headed
dogs. I've never bothered to get around to
Google it. A three-headed dog is named Cerberus. That's the official name.
Breed of the dog.
Yes, that's the breed.
The breed of the dog. Okay.
And then...
So then it was Noah that was wrong saying his name is Cerberus. No, his breed is Cerberus. His name is Fluffy.
Indeed.
Yes. But once again, guys... Sorry, we were never laughing at any of you. We were laughing with you.
Yes, we were laughing with you, except your laughter was way before our laughter. And
because they still keep forgetting to send us episodes in advance.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that all about, guys? Come on.
But you know what? It's okay because I can take the pain of waiting for episodes. I can. It's hard. It's hard.
It's rough. It's hard to do.
I can deal.
That's okay.
I just play Valheim all fucking day.
One of these days, they'll take us seriously. Yep. But yay, book club is back.
Indeed.
Woohoo, the book club. This is like the best book club I have ever been involved in, and I'm not even reading a book.
You know what? I think we should all introduce ourselves. I'm Grandpa Joe.
I am not Grandpa Joe. I am not Grandpa Joe. Grandpa Joe is creepy AF too. I'm just saying right now. Okay. Now it is Dawn's turn to fall over and look like she's about to pee herself.
Because I'm Grandpa Joe.
I think if I stick to the cranberry juice,
oh my Christ,
because that's all I'm drinking right now is cranberry juice. Anyway, we are season 2, episode 1. Hey, it's me, your Grandpa Joe, which originally aired on Tuesday, March 30th of this year, a podcast that aired this year. Just saying, guys, safety first for King Falls, but you know, we're waiting for some episodes. The cast spent some time getting caught up with one another. Mason, I laughed so hard because I almost did this myself. And I'm not gonna lie, I almost did. Mason talked about how he tried to leave an anonymous review.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, dude, did you really leave a review on your own podcast? Like, I was looking a couple weeks ago and I saw that. I'm like, oh my God, that motherfucker left a review on his own podcast. That is classic.
I am siding with Mason on this one because I swear to God, I almost did that and went, no, I think it's going to put my name up there. So I didn't. Instead, I called my friends and be like, hey, listen to the podcast and leave a review. Just listen to one episode. We don't care. Just listen and leave a review.
I could probably... Now, does it leave your name or does it leave your username?
It leaves your username.
Oh, well, then I could probably just fucking...
Well, at least whatever your Apple username is. So my Apple username is the beginning of my email.
Yeah.
You know, before you get to the at Gmail.
I could add a review.
I think everybody would know it's me.
I'll just leave one saying that I'm going to have a joke. And then
there you go.
And then say that I got paid a dollar.
You got paid a dollar for Hookers and Blow. I don't think you can buy Hookers and Blow for a dollar. At least not enough to, you know, get you anything.
Oh my God. Okay.
Stick to the Coke that comes in a bottle, sweetie. Once again, Chris is a narrator and he introduces the new cast members, Trent and Lauren, who, first of all, we all know that we love Trent. Lauren, I'm looking forward to hearing more from you.
True.
They have increased their female presence by 100%. Way to make it more diverse by hiring another white guy, guys. Not that I have a problem with you guys bringing Trent onto the cast. Because, you know, it's Trent.
It's Trent.
Yeah, we were having a diversity discussion at work today. Everything is now racist to me. Had a whole diversity meeting. Everybody's racist, motherfuckers. Anyway, Chris opens telling us how Charlie and his parents and all four of his grandparents live in a small house with one bed that all four grandparents live in. I do remember that from the movies.
Where the fuck does Charlie sleep? Does he like sleep on the floor or like what?
Well, according to Mr. Bucket, he and Mrs. Bucket sleep on the couch. I'm assuming Charlie sleeps in a corner somewhere. One of the grandpas chimes in that he thinks it sucks. Mr. Bucket, who would be Charlie's dad, is upset that everybody's complaining. Like, dude, he's doing the best he can do. He's the only one with a fucking job. What the hell do you want? He's supporting all you dumb motherfuckers out there. Go get off your ass and get a fucking job. The other grandpa has been, who we later find out is Grandpa George, has been hotboxing in the bed all day. Now, when I was growing up, that is not our version of hotboxing. My experience with hotboxing involves sitting in a small enclosed space like a car, a small bathroom, covering up all the cracks and windows and the doors.
Are you about to say that you utilized?
Seriously, get smoky.
Are you about to say that you utilized illegal substances?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Well, that's a yes.
That I would partake in said hotboxing, just that I know what it is. Because now, the interwebs.
Now, see, we do not call it hotboxing in my neck of the woods.
We always called it when I grew up, in my neck of the woods.
It is not considered hotboxing here. In the great state of Maine, it is called clam bake.
I can see
that. If you hold a clam bake in your car,
I can see that.
I am pronouncing it right, people. It is C A H car.
I've never seen it spelled C A H.
Well, you know that's how it's pronounced. So that's how it's spelled.
Car.
If I wanted to be prim and proper, I would pronounce it car, but I don't want to pronounce it car. Yeah, car. So I pronounce it car.
I know.
Because I'm a lazy motherfucker.
By the
I'm a lazy motherfucker, and I want to pronounce it car. So, yeah, car it is.
I but speak New England. I understand what you're saying.
But yes, we call it holding a clam bake.
Because I don't understand how people in the South call oil. Like, go to Tennessee and ask them what comes out of those big old geyser gushy things. It's old.
No, they can keep the old.
I'm just saying. I don't understand how they pronounce it that way. Just like I don't understand how y'all pronounce car ka.
Because like, that's the correct pronunciation.
Chromates.
That is the correct pronunciation of ka.
Ka? Like, is when a crow goes flying through the air and goes ka ka ka. That's ka.
No.
Car is a four-wheeled vehicle that you get in and you turn the key and you drive it. And you go vroom 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 all over the place.
I gotta correct you. A crow goes ka.
That's what I just said.
Ka. Ka.
Yes.
That Ka is a fruit. Ka. I am saying ka.
Yeah, okay.
Two different things.
You're just trying to change it to make me, you know, to convince me I'm not right.
That I am using the correct pronunciation.
And like I told Trent, I'm just going to shut up and go with it. There's going to be like an hour-long argument. See, Trent, what did I say?
There's going to be like an hour-long edit. Okay,
people
so.
Are like, what the fuck are they arguing about?
I am.
Not worth it. Don't even ask. Anyway, where were we?
Young Herschel says that he was hotboxing the mattress.
Grandpa was hotboxing the mattress.
Right, yes. Bed. Young Herschel.
See, we used to call that Dutch oven.
Oh, yeah, Dutch oven. Yeah.
A Dutch oven. Yeah. Except but I think technically to be a Dutch oven, you have to shove somebody's head under there.
Oh, but that's true. You have to. You're significant.
More closer to a Dutch oven than a hotboxing. But whatever you want to call it, somebody was blowing it up under the comforter. I'm just saying.
So we're just saying it's young Herschel.
We're just saying you don't want to be underneath that comforter at this point.
And he's young Herschel.
Okay, it was Grandpa George.
Young Herschel.
At that point, it was Grandpa George. Look, you can't young Herschel everybody. It was Grandpa George. Charlie has no idea who's even in the house at this point in time. But while working at the toothpaste factory and squeezing the tubes of toothpaste and putting the caps on them, Mr. Bucket talks, dreams about providing more for his family, but unfortunately he doesn't get paid much. So, and Charlie, you know, Charlie's kind of a brat. He thinks his dad doesn't do enough. Charlie, get off your ass and go get a motherfucking job. I'm just saying.
Now who is Charlie? Is it Mason or is it Owen?
I thought it was Mason, but I don't know. Hey, guys, we know that at least Mason listens. Occasionally, once in a while.
Occasionally.
Who plays? Y'all need to like put on your show notes, like who plays which characters.
Because Noah plays his father.
Yeah, Noah plays Mr. Bucket.
And Trent plays young Herschel.
Trent plays AKA Grandpa George. Trent plays Grandpa George. I'm not sure which of our female actresses plays Mrs. Bucket. I don't know which one it is. I think it's Lauren, but I could be wrong. I mean, I got a 50-50 shot, right? Unless it's Trent.
Yeah, boy.
And who plays Grandpa Josephine? Y'all need to start putting a list of who plays which characters, because quite frankly, especially with everybody doing multiple characters, I get confused.
I was gonna say I didn't hear Eric.
Well, it's not hard for me to be confused. Eric, maybe. Who played Willy Wonka?
I think that was either Sean Condy or Owen or Mason, whoever didn't play Charlie.
Okay, then who?
Whichever out of the two didn't play Charlie played Willy Wonka.
Okay, yeah, because you can't have the same person. You just can't play off each other that way.
So, yeah. Unless you're Trent.
Yeah, unless you're Trent. and to quote Noah, I swear to God, if you cut this out, that comes later though. Anyway, so Charlie's kind of a brat and he needs to get off his ass and go get a fucking job if he doesn't like the fact that his dad's not providing him money. Mr. Bucket talks about, no, I love my life, it's great, everybody's teeth are clean and everybody smells great, blah 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 blah. Charlie, come here, you need to get the fuck out of this house and get the fuck away from this life as soon as you can. Grandpa chimes in about, one of the grandparents chimes in about somebody squeezing tubes. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mrs. Bucket talks about eating toothpaste, but one of the grandmas chimes in and says, you're not supposed to eat it, you're supposed to rub it on your breasts. No. That'd be like a whole fucking tube of toothpaste going on mine. I'm sorry. No, that's just not going to happen. Mr. Bucket is, oh yeah, that's where he talks about how he's happy with his life and then tells Charlie secretly he's miserable. Charlie wants to know how Mr. Bucket ended up this way. You know, was it thrust upon him? Was it a choice? Mr. Bucket grows a pair and blames Charlie. You know what, Charlie? Everything was fine until you came along.
Jesus Christ.
All your fault. Mrs.
That's Bucket, not going to fuck with a kid at all.
Because they had dreams before Charlie came along. Well, Mrs. Bucket was a singer.
Used responsibility.
Well, Mrs. Bucket was a singer before Charlie came along. And I don't care what Charlie says, she sang, and I think she has a perfectly lovely voice. The rest of the family is not close with her singing, but I don't care. I liked it. They also, you know, say, you know, Charlie's mom also didn't have any birth control, so, you know, she might have contributed to this a little bit. Charlie is now convinced he will be scarred for life, and I kind of
understandably at this point.
There's a couple of things going on in this conversation that would scar me for life. just saying. The narrator explains how the family is so poor that the only thing they eat is bread and mayonnaise for breakfast and cabbage for lunch and dinner, which I've got to say, talking about Grandpa hotboxing under the covers, I was kind of gagging. Because if he's got some
fucking cabbage,
cabbage farts, he's got cabbage farts going on underneath the covers. I'm just saying.
Not okay.
I wasn't even there, and I'm kind of gagging a little bit at this point. Just, you know. Charlie thinks about things he'd rather eat, like vegetables, and his dad's like, well, we'll just go get you some magic. Like, Dad, fucking apples aren't magic. We've talked about this. Charlie's dad isn't too bright. Now we know he works in a toothpaste factory, putting the lids on that toothpaste. Yeah, just, you know. I'm just saying. Grandpa Joe has no idea how Charlie can get the things he wants, or has an idea how Charlie can get the things he wants. He gives Charlie $1 for an early birthday gift and tells him to buy himself some chocolate, buy himself some chocolate, and with the change, bring him back some hookers and blow. Charlie, being apparently the smartest person in the room, explains that you can't buy hookers and blow with a dollar.
Nope.
Although personally, I think based on when this was written, you probably could buy hookers and blow with a dollar, and he just wants to keep the money for himself.
Good point.
I'm just
saying. I think they're going on based on today's economy rather than
I'm sure the cast is going on based on today's economy, yes.
Yeah.
And so yeah, Charlie says you might be able to buy a wrapper for a piece of gum. Also, Grandpa Joe should not be having hookers and blow. He's too old for that shit.
At all.
Charlie talks about how he gets chocolate every year for his birthday, and he remembers the first time he gets chocolate.
And it comes out that he has a fucking chocolate
so much, and he wants to have the melted chocolate and rub it all over his body, and he wants it to come out of all of his orifices, and he wants to eat the chocolate and rub. Charlie got a problem. I mean, I like chocolate. Charlie got a problem.
I do believe it's what they call a choco fetish.
It's a fetish, all right. Charlie's mom interrupts him, you know, hearing the fetish talk. Like, Charlie, is your body changing? And, you know, which brings us to yet another life-scarring moment. Or what would be a life-scarring moment had my grandfather ever said this to me. He has to give the sex talk, which thankfully consists of very few words. I'm going to try and say it.
Hookers and blow?
No. Not the hookers and blow. The sex talk that we used to have on the playground in kindergarten. Where you would go, no. Oh my God. Don, have you never heard this before?
You're going to have to fucking remind me of what is said. And I'll tell you.
I'm sorry. I'm imagining my grandfather saying it. And now I'm scarred. He says, I'm going to try to say it with a straight face, guys. Milk, milk, lemonade, around the back is where the fudge is made.
Oh my God, that was so funny when Trent said that. I burst into fucking tears.
Oh my God, so did I. I almost peed myself out loud so hard. I'm not even going to lie.
Because I could picture young Herschel saying that shit.
I want to hear Herschel say that to Sammy one of these days. I'm just saying.
That would be fucking amazing.
I want to hear him say it to Ben and Sammy. That would be funny. Fucking
amazing.
even if it's like an outtake and they put it on the Patreon. I just want to hear it. I was trying not to say it, guys. I am scarred. This is why I am drinking cranberry juice and vodka in a 32-ounce tumbler.
Oh my God. You are going to be completely shit-faced by the end of this episode.
No, I'm not. It's only my first one. Although I didn't eat dinner yet, so maybe I will.
Yep.
Charlie thinks that the problems are nature, not nurture. Every time Grandpa Joe has a line, he's got to introduce himself. It's me, your Grandpa Joe. Asks Charlie if he thinks his family is treating him well. Of course Charlie doesn't think his family's treating him well. He just said his dad doesn't do enough and thinks that apples are fucking magic.
It's Grandpa Joe.
Tonight, our show will be done by myself, Dana, and
Grandpa Joe.
Because Dawn has apparently decided to take a mental vacation. not unlike every other night when we record.
when am I not on mental vacation? Am I right?
Oh, you're right. Not unlike every other day of her life. Anyway. Grandma Josephine does not remember that she is married to Grandpa Joe. Grandma Josephine got some problems. Because if I was married to Grandpa Joe, I probably won't forget too. Grandpa Joe, Charlie, it's me, your Grandpa Joe, calls out Charlie for being a rat bastard and for reminding Grandma Joe that they're married and for ruining his day and wants some hookers and blow. And he never should have given Charlie the hooker and blow money. Charlie tries to describe... This was another funny-ass part. I'd be cracking up so mad. I swear to God. So, the narrator leads Charlie in. That Charlie walks by the factory on his way to school. And Charlie describes it in great detail. Except, Charlie apparently is having a hard time describing it with anything other than excellent. No matter how many takes he has. No matter how many takes he wants to do. And he tried a couple. But that's okay. He's allowed. He's Charlie. He's the lead. He can have as many damn takes as he wants. Charlie declares that he will one day own this town.
Yep.
Still can't figure out how to describe the town other than excellent, but he will own this excellent town one day. And then he says a little prayer to dear God, Lord Jesus, please forgive his family and everything else. I have never laughed so hard at somebody praying in my entire life.
Please, please, dear Lord.
And I have laughed at people praying. And I don't mean that to be sacrilegious. For those of you who are religious, I have no problem with that. You do you. I have alcohol. You have religion. There you go.
Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights, the end.
But I have laughed at prayers occasionally in my life. And this Charlie prayer was one of them. Grandpa Joe, hey Charlie, it's me, your Grandpa Joe, starts to tell Charlie stories. Grandpa Joe got a lot of stories, by the way. Mm-hmm. This particular one is a war story. And now we know.
Dude, how many pages of notes do you have?
Like 11.
11?
Well, and I use kind of a big font when I print it out because I can't see very well. So if
you're going over it word by word?
No, I'm not actually. I'm cutting out probably at about 2/3 the words that I have on the page.
Oh, thank God. I was like, 12 a.m. I'd be like,
I take notes on the shows like I took notes in college.
I'd be like, Jesus,
I am very detail oriented with my notes.
I'm just gonna be over my mic going.
You want to start taking the notes for the shows?
I would just be like, hey, this episode was fucking hilarious. Hey, this episode was fucking hilarious. The end.
Yeah, that's the end of the podcast, by the way, guys.
In one sentence. Trent was a fucking Mav, and the rest of them were pretty funny too.
You want to know what happened? Fucking go listen to it, you goddamn selves. We aren't going to help you pick out those little things you missed because you were laughing too goddamn hard. Peeing yourself.
How do you know what I was doing on Tuesday afternoon? I mean, what?
I don't know, but good thing you got them dark dungarees on.
I don't know.
Shut up.
I didn't admit to anything. I'm putting the fifth.
Grandpa Joe talks about how he was in Des Moines and he heard she's turning off the light and going to sleep.
Yep. No, I still have it on.
Anyway, and how he heard people walking around. So he jumps out of the bushes and slaughters 50 people. But then he realizes too late
they were his own men.
That it was his own men. So, because he must have had too much blow. And so he pretends that somebody else did it and he gets medals when they come to save him. He gets a medal. Charlie asks him to tell him about the chocolate factory. Grandpa Joe introduces himself yet again and then tells everybody the story that after he got back from NAMM, a crazy man in top hat asked him if he wanted some chocolate that will get him high. I'm sorry. Who says no to this?
Apparently Grandpa Joe.
Anyway, he laughs it off, but like 10 years later, he reads in a newspaper where this man bought the chocolate factory. And so anyway, he laughs about it. And then he gets over to Charlie and tries to calm him down because Charlie's like frustrated with Grandpa Joe because Grandpa Joe rambles on, much like myself. And he tries to get Charlie to calm down and introduces himself as Grandpa Joe again. You know, I should go back and listen and count how many times he introduces himself.
Like at least five or six times.
Oh, just by this point. He does it way more than that. I swear. It's going on my list. Oh, anyway. And tells Charlie to always accept chocolate from somebody who offers it to him because it will eventually make him a rich man. Because see, the rich man with the chocolate that gets you high bought the chocolate factory. Charlie asks if any of his other grandparents can translate this story. But Grandpa Joe interrupts and introduces himself yet again. And tells him more stories about Willy Wonka, like how he found a cure for chocolate. Or chocolate.
A cure for cancer.
Thank you. How he found a cure for cancer, but didn't tell anybody except Grandpa Joe when he was throwing Grandpa Joe over the wall out of the factory. If you ever die of cancer, I'm not going to cure you. Over the wall he goes. And if somebody ever asks him, you know, money for Willy Wonka's secrets, fucking tell him. Make some money this way. Grandpa Joe also tells more stories. But Mr. and Mrs. Bucket talk about how he's not only violent, but Grandpa Joe is a sexual deviant, and I cannot argue this with that. Probably because, according to Mrs. Bucket, the only time Grandpa Joe has ever had sex was when they made her. No. And Mr. Bucket can confirm this because he comes home late at night sometimes and catches Grandpa Joe with the hookers and the blow. Now, Grandpa Joe is in a bed with three other grandparents who are apparently oblivious to this fact. Like, how much chocolate have they taken to make them high that they are totally oblivious to the fact that Grandpa Joe is in the same bed with them with hookers and blow? I don't know.
One time, late at night, up is down, down is up.
Dull Bevins. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Mr. Bucket also wonders how Grandpa Joe has the ability to indulge in such things, because Viagra was not invented yet. I'm just saying. Maybe it's that chocolate that makes you high. I don't know. Maybe it's the blow. Who knows? Grandpa Joe also tells about how Mr. Wonka once met a man called Chief Pondicherry. That's how he says it. Chief Pondicherry.
Wasn't that King Pondicherry?
No, it was Chief Pondicherry. Actually, I think it was Prince Pondicherry. Yeah. And the rest of the cast wants him to be careful about how he tells the story. Yeah. Because the rest of the show can depend upon this. It's also why Prince Pondicherry has a British accent.
Now this was India fucking annoying.
Used to be part of the British Empire. As of the 1950s, they are now their own independent nation or group of nations, whatever. And anyway, Grandpa that's all, folks. Yeah. So Grandpa Joe calls Charlie over, introduces himself again, and talks about how this one time at band camp when he was in Indie. Or no, Indie. How the hell he said it? He did not say India. It was Indaya. That's how he said it, Indaya. Where he met Lord Fauntleroy Cherry Steinson. And in the story, Prince Pondicherry tries to get Wonka to build him a palace of chocolate. I don't want a palace of chocolate for multiple reasons. One, I would just eat my way through it, and my ass is already like the size of my couch. Pondicherry explains he wants an empire, an entire empire, not just a palace, an empire built of chocolate. That will withstand the heat in India. Wonka's like, yeah, okay, I can cure cancer, so I can do that. Like, he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't want a cure for cancer. He wants a fucking empire built of chocolate. And I gotta say, for being the first time we hear Wonka's voice, Wonka sounds like a bit of a creeper.
Indeed. And I'm wondering if Wonka, I think Wonka might be Sean.
I have no idea. Guys.
Because Pondicherry is Owen.
Credits list.
Yes, credits list, please.
Credits list.
Unless, of course, it's Trent.
Yeah. Basically, anybody you don't credit, we're going to assume it was Trent.
Yep. It was Trent all along. Trent was the friend we
made. Trent did the whole damn thing. I love Trent, but even I'm not putting that one on him. Came because Pondicherry proposition. He thought Pondicherry would proposition him. He's very upset that he's not getting propositioned. So he's a creeper and he's a sexual deviant. But the prince tells him that he will pay him with orange-faced bleeps. They bleep it out. So you can fill it in however you want with whatever noun you feel like putting in there. I think he's saying orange face fucks, but I don't know for sure. Because I think the beginning of, beginning of an F sound at one point.
Wasn't it orange fuck faces?
No, it was orange face beep. So I don't know. So yeah, it might be fuck. I don't know.
Could be.
If it is, like, really, you're bleeping that shit out? Come on. The FCC, for as much as I joke about them, does not monitor podcasts.
FCC, Dana, FCC. I'm down with FCC. We know they monitor Facebook and Twitter accounts, don't we?
Fucking days.
It's okay, Dana.
30
It's all right.
Fucking days.
It's okay, Dana. It's okay.
And it wasn't even something I fucking said. I quoted somebody else.
We'll make it through.
30 fucking days.
We'll make it through, Dana. You and I together. We're like this. Kind of.
I'm going to have to create a new Facebook account. At some point. That's what I did. Twitter. Because the fucking Nazis who wrote the motherfucking program, an algorithm that picks out little bitty words.
FCC. She's flipping me off, dear listeners.
No, I'm not flipping you off. I'm flipping off binary pals.
She just flipped me the double bird. Can you believe that shit?
You the double bird. This one is for the Facebook Nazis. This one is for the Twitter Nazis.
Oh, okay. In that case, it's totally proved. I was like, my co-host is flipping me off twice. Most of the times I deserve it. Most of the times I deserve it. But not this time.
Most of the time you do. Well, this time it's okay.
Well, you didn't have to agree with me.
I just need a minute to collect myself. Okay. Where were we? Wonka builds the palace. Everything is made out of chocolate.
Which melts.
And Prince Pondicherry describes it as excellent. Seems to be a running theme with everybody here. Everything is excellent. But Pondicherry loves it. Wonka asks, does he really love chocolate? Does he want to have it coming out of all of the orifices? Does he want to rub it all over his body? Does he want to eat it all? Very much like Charlie describes chocolate. So Wonka has the same chocolate fetish. I'm just saying. He's got a little something going on up in his head. The prince offers to double, even triple his money of orange face. Beep! If he stops asking why he wants a palace made of chocolate. Nobody asked him why he wanted a palace made of chocolate. But anyway, the palace. Oh, Wonka does warn him that he cut corners in building the palace. He didn't use fiberglass. He used cotton candy.
Yep.
And he does warn him that it will not last long in the heat. But the prince doesn't care. Wonka just wants to watch him sleep. Wonka doesn't really care either. He just wants to watch the prince sleep. There's nothing weird about that. Just sleep.
No.
Not weird. Anyway, the palace melts. The prince wakes up in a pool of chocolate, cursing out Willy Wonka. Or I'd be cursing him out. But then again, he wasn't the one stupid enough to live in a palace of chocolate. Yes? You're trying to throw me off, which is why I stare at my host the whole time.
Watching you sleep, it's like, no, that's not weird at all.
Dude, yeah, I'm never going to sleep again. Thank you very much. I'm going to have that face of grit, you know, just emblazed in my memory. Yeah, that one. Charlie asks Grandpa Joe if it's true and wants to know the moral of the story. Grandpa Joe tells him don't build chocolate houses on the sand. Willy Wonka really likes chocolate. Grandpa Joe, after introducing himself again, tells Charlie another story. Explaining how there aren't a lot of kids around because they all tried to break into the factory. And Grandma tells Charlie it's because they all died.
They were never heard from again.
Yes, they all died. They were never heard from again. Grandpa Joe has no idea where the narrator is trying to take him on. And quite frankly, we don't know where the hell narrator's taking him on this one because Grandpa Joe just had some verbal diarrhea going on over here.
You know, Grandpa Joe is just Grandpa Joe. And if he wants the Grandpa Joe, he's going to Grandpa Joe all over the Grandpa Joe.
He's going to Grandpa Joe all over the podcast. And that's, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I'm here for it. So Grandpa Joe all over the place. Just because y'all are some sick motherfuckers. I'm just saying, now I got hiccups because I drank too much already. Okay. Anyway, the heart of the conspiracy, this is where Chris is trying to take everybody with the narration. The heart of the conspiracy about why no one is ever seen going in or out of the factory, how any of this had to do with that is beyond me, is because it is self-sufficient and self-sufficient magical paradise. I can talk, I swear to God.
Where there's hookers and blow around every corner. Yeah.
I think it's Grandma Josephine, but it might be the other one, I don't know, says that it's just one big sweaty orgy going on inside the factory, which I'm sure Grandpa Joe is all over. Joe is all over that. Like, Grandpa Joe, if it was a big sweaty orgy going on, would be all up in that shit. And all the grandparents think that they should be further along in the plot by now. And Grandpa George questions whether there even is a plot. At this point, Grandpa George, no, there is no plot to this story. Charlie's mother interrupts, singing once again, and again, perfectly lovely voice, about how she used to have dreams, and she used to do more than just wash the sheets.
Oh, yes. And I would also like to point out, pardon me for interrupting, that there is a Les Miserables. There is a Les Miserables reference. At the end of the song.
There is. In fact, I even have that in my notes. Yes, Mr. Bucket interrupts the narrator interrupting so that he can help Mrs. Bucket sing the rest of the song, because apparently she can't remember the words now. So thankfully, Noah is on the ball. But yes, then we come to our Les Mis reference, which now I can't fucking remember.
She says 24601.
Oh, that's right, 24601. Okay, thank you.
Which is the prisoner number of Jean Valjean.
Jean's prisoner number, yes. You know, and the funny thing is, I have been playing One More Day on a loop.
Like, ooh, there you go. Pretty
much all week.
are you fucking playing like the 10th anniversary edition where they were at the fucking 25th, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
But they had all the different Valjeans and shit.
I've been playing that one. I've been playing different versions of it. I did that one. I did the one from the Magicians when they did it in season, I think it was 3.
Ooh, I didn't know that they did it.
Oh god, yes. I just finished rewatching the Magicians. Sorry, sidebar. I just finished rewatching The Magicians again. I love that show. And I completely forgot they did it until that episode came up on Netflix. Nice. And then I'm just sitting here going, I cannot listen to that without crying. I swear to God. Like, I'm trying to break myself crying every time I hear the song. Yeah.
But that, Les Mis is some serious fucking epic shit.
It is. I love it. Man. It was the first big Broadway production that I have seen that toured here in Colorado. I'd seen other plays, you know, college plays, high school plays, even local plays, but this was the first big Broadway production that I had ever
actually
seen.
Like, saw it live.
Yeah, that I saw live. Lucky I've seen bitch. It like 3 times. I'm not at all obsessed with Les Mis. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I have seen it 3 times. Lucky and bastard. I went with a friend of mine and I was in my late 20s the first time I saw it. And I went with a friend of mine who used to always pick on me for being like just this stone cold, you know, I'm not emotional and I don't cry and whatever. And after the intermission, the first part after the intermission comes on, where they're at the barricade and the little boy goes out to go collect the guns from the dead French troops, and he gets shot. And I think the entire theater heard me sobbing at that point. She just reaches in her purse and hands me a Kleenex. Like, okay, here you go. I take it back. You're not a cold-hearted bitch. Here you go. Just like...
Oh my God. My One of my favorite songs off of Les Mis has to be Master of the House.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my God, that is fucking righteous.
It is. It is. Oh my God, that whole, the whole fucking soundtrack is amazing. And I am not usually a big musical type of person. Like, I like them, but they're not, you know.
I would fucking see Les Mis, legit.
Oh, it.
Like, who wouldn't, honestly? It's fucking Les Mis.
I've seen Wicked twice.
What the fuck?
I've seen Miss Saigon once. I've seen Cats once.
Oh my God, Cats.
You know, maybe it's because I didn't see Cats until like the end of its run, but I was not, I liked it, but I was not as impressed with Cats as I was with other things. Or maybe I just didn't like that as much. Anyway, sidebar over. That is our Broadway musical interlude.
We are more educated than people may think we are. Shocker.
I mean, just because I have a master's degree in business doesn't mean shit. Anyway, the next evening, the cast is at this point given up. Grandpa George and Grandma Georgina continue to tell Joe's story, which consists of the end. They can't really remember it. The narrator has interrupted and made them forget. Grandpa George tells Charlie that he can't give up and needs to get many, many jobs and move up if Charlie wants to make something of himself. And they also tell Charlie that he has some sad, they have their own sad, fucked up stories to tell, but they never ask. He only ever talks to Grandpa Joe. And at which point, Charlie's like, yeah, I've got enough backstory from Grandpa Joe for everybody in this cast. Mr. Bucket interrupts and gets upset that the others are interrupting his interruption. Doesn't sound like Noah at all. But he has some news about the factory, and he can't seem to spit it out. The narrator's trying to help him. He's trying to tell Noah what the news is. Apparently, Noah just wasn't paying attention. Anyway, Mr. Wonka is having a contest where you buy the chocolate bar and you may win a ticket to get into the factory. Charlie gives his father much clapback. It's about time somebody gave Noah clapback. That's all I'm saying. Mr. Bucket only wants Charlie to be proud of him, and Charlie's not proud of him. Charlie's very disappointed in his father. He tells Charlie to go buy chocolate. He tells Charlie to go buy a chocolate bar. Charlie accuses him, or Charlie actually looks for someone who can tell him what's going on. So the narrator has to explain about the golden ticket in like 5 seconds, which took Mr. Bucket like 2 minutes to try and explain. And they finally finish Grandpa Joe's story with the end. And that is the end of this episode. Finally. I know I drug it out probably much longer than the episode actually was.
Well, the episode, I think, clocked in at like 40 minutes.
Yeah, the episode was about 40 minutes. We've been on for
an hour 30.
An hour and a half. So,
I'm going to edit like some of this shit out, but most of it I'm actually going to keep in, so.
If you edit any of this shit out, I swear to God, I'm coming up there and kicking ass.
Do you just want me to like
fucking comedy gold, motherfucker? No, I don't care what you edit out. I'm kidding.
I can put it up unedited.
I really don't care if you edit it or not.
Oh, I got a stink bug. Hello, Mr. Stink Bug.
Stink bug. Oh,
yeah. Hold on. Let me see if he's camera shy. Where is he? There he is. Stink bug.
God has bugs.
Just don't fly on my face. No, they like to visit sometimes.
I know. I get them too. Let's see.
He's harmless.
Yeah. I kind of want to say that, you know, when you're listening to the episode for shits and giggles and just to laugh, it is far different than when you're listening to the episode trying to take notes. At least for me, which is why I have 11 pages of notes. You also realize And don't get me wrong, I love to listen and take the notes because I pick up on all kinds of shit. That's what I'm specifically listening for. I mean, I love listening for the notes because that's how I pick up on stuff. So I'm not complaining about that part. But that is when you realize how fucked up these people are. Or let's quote Mr. Ben Arnold, they are fucking crazy. And I am 100% here for it. I'm just saying.
Samesies.
I am 100% here for their fucking craziness. So anyway, though, that's the end of the episode. Do we have plugs, shout outs, fan art that we need to talk about? I've got a couple of plugs.
I don't have any. I mean, my plugs were basically going over the audio of Where's the Words and name dropping. So
I have two podcasts that I've recently started listening to. One is Next on Stage One. It is, I can't for life of me remember the names of the hosts now. So I apologize. You all will know who you are. They both work in the adult entertainment industry.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And basically they're just telling stories and laughing and goofing off about, you know, the stuff, you know, how it used to be in the before times, before it is, you know, versus how it is now.
For sure.
And the other one is put out by the same people who do True Crime Obsessed podcasts. And for all of you that know, true crime is my go-to. There are a few audio dramas, obviously, that I listen to because you've heard us plug those. But true crime is my go-to. This one is Strange and Unexplained. The first three episodes just dropped today. So I listened to the first three episodes today. What?
So I do actually have a plug.
Oh, you do?
I do. I didn't think of it until now because, I mean, I don't know if any person of color who also happens to be a voice actor listens to this, but...
I'm sure
you never know. So anyways, Campaign Skyjacks is actually looking for a person of color, a voice actor, to take a role on their podcast. The voice actor would be playing a pirate captain by the name of Orimar Vale, who's in his like mid-50s. They want, you know, the regular, they want like a headshot, they want, you know, a fucking resume, they want all that shit sent to them. I would say just check out, you know, the Campaign Skyjacks page on fucking like Spotify, because they have a link to it there, what they're looking for. But if you know anybody, if you are that person, check it out. The end.
Do it. Go do it.
Do it.
Do it. Yeah, but listen to Strange and Unexplained. Each episode is about 30 minutes, so they're fairly quick. The third episode that I listened to talked about, I gotta kind of relay this story, and you guys can do with it as you will, but it explains part of my terror for enclosed spaces. There was a guy, and she goes into far more detail than I will, who back in 1999, his name is Jack White, and you can find a video of this on YouTube, went out for a cigarette break from work, came back in, was going up the elevator, in the express elevator. It got stuck. He was stuck in the elevator for 40 hours.
Oh, shit.
Video of this. There was surveillance video, and the alarm was going off, and not one person thought, maybe we should check this out.
That would have driven me bonkers.
Yeah, well, it kind of drove him a little bit bonkers too. But yeah, so go listen to that. But if, I mean, if you like that kind of thing, if you don't like it, then, you know, whatever, do what you want. I'm not your mom. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But anyway, that was it for my plugs. Is there any more from you?
Nope.
All right. Well, in that case, this has been Shotgun Saturday Nights. It is edited and produced by Don Blake, or Grandpa Joe this week.
Grandpa Joe.
And outlined by me, Dana. Follow us on Twitter at ShotgunSammy71, or email us your questions at ShotgunSaturdayNights@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, share, and review. And you guys send us some fucking questions, comments, concerns.
Yes.
Come on, give us something here.
We want to answer them.
We do. I mean, except don't ask us, when is the show coming back? We don't fucking know.
Yep, don't ask us that.
There, I answered that question. If they tell us, we will repeat it, assuming they say it's on.
Yep.
Other than that, we don't fucking know.
Oh, and happy Easter to those people that celebrate Easter.
Yes. Happy Easter. And happy weekend. Wear your masks. Get vaccinated.
Yep, masks. Get your vaccine.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Yep. Don't drink and drive. That's my 32 alcohol question. I'm not leaving the house on this.
Thank you for listening to Shotgun Saturday Nights, an unofficial King Falls AM fancast. Our intro music is Get Ready by Fresno Studios, and our outro track is The Slumber of the Blackwood by As Above, So Below off their album Ritos 2, which is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Until next time.